The reading is Genesis 49, verses 29 through to Genesis 50, verses 21, on page 56 of the Church Bibles. Then he gave them these instructions. I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave of the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought as a burial ground from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished giving his instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him for 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, 'My father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, and then I will return.'" Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father, as he has made you swear to do." So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly, and there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there sought the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. That is why the place near the Jordan is called Abel Mizraim." So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought as a burial place for Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, having read your word, let us take it into our hearts and do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Death. Death is coming. Death is here. Death is outside. There's no escape. Death can catch us at any moment. Who's that at the door? It's death. Let him in. Death came for Jacob, just as it will come for us. We know not who is next. Death shall be part of life, now and forevermore. Figured I'd get straight to the point. Sorry for the cheery opening. Chapter 49, verse 33. When Jacob had finished giving instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. With Jacob's death, we reach the end of the story of Joseph. The end of the beginning as this rounds out the book of Genesis. Joseph's story is one of God's plan working out, even in amongst times of trial, in amongst deeds of evil, in amongst experiences of discontent. God's plan, as we've spoken of many times this year, works out for some kind of good in absolutely everything, even in amongst death. Chapter 49, verses 29 to 33. Then he gave them these instructions. I'm about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished giving instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. God called his servant Jacob home. God knows how it's all going to work out. And God ensures that his work can be done on earth before his good and faithful servant is called home. There are many instances where we see those servants calmly, peacefully called home. But there are far, far many more where death can feel cruel. From nowhere, as the result of evil, people being snatched from us. But where evil may be, God is still working. Working stronger than evil, working to defeat evil, working to help us through the suffering that evil causes and to come out of the other side in an even stronger manner. This is reflected in the grief. Chapter 50, verses 1 to 14 shows the story of the funeral arrangements. Verses 1 to 3, Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned him 70 days. In amongst the following days of mourning, we see things that may be familiar to us. This may have happened many thousands of years ago, but the rituals of grief still remain somewhat similar. Preparations for the funeral in verses 4 to 5, as Jacob requests to be buried in the land of Canaan. Verses 7 to 9, showing the funeral procession. Verses 10 to 11, there in your Bibles. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly. And there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "The Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. into the funeral itself. The various rituals, the various things that are done are things that we are all familiar with in one way or another. Grief catapults us into something. It can vary, that thing. It's very personal how we all deal with it. It affects us all in very different ways. We can all cope in very different ways. But the one thing that we have in common is the support that we get from God. The support from the Lord in amongst the frenetic madness of grief. And in Joseph's response, we see that he has received that. When his brothers come a-calling, his own oh-so-wonderful brothers, those who we have heard over the past few weeks, were responsible for the whole selling him into slavery debacle that caused him so much suffering. Verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. Joseph wept. He did not want to be wrathful to his brothers. He's moved at how they're treating him, moved in amongst the love, deeply moved almost. Verses 18 to 21. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. His brothers came in a mind of repentance. They threw themselves down in front of him. "We are your slaves." They were willing to give themselves over to work off the debt of sin that they had built up for all that they had done. But Joseph sees what was there. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God takes absolutely everything and puts it to some good use. We may not always see, we may not always know how, and we may not find out for the longest of times. We may be sat there in the pit of something going on and thinking, how can any of this, any of what is happening, any of what I have witnessed, experienced, anything that has left me so distressed, be used for good? But we all know how we can emerge from those on the odd occasion. Setbacks that can teach you a lesson and put you on a different, correct path. Bouts of suffering that strengthen you and set you on a path that turned out for good. The death of someone on a cross, what could that do? Joseph is an example of evil being used for good. His brothers got jealous, sent him into slavery, but they resulted in the good of lives being saved. Jesus was betrayed, arrested, crucified by those running scared of his teaching. But in his death and resurrection, in the suffering and separation from God that entailed, we are able to receive grace that saves us. If we accept the grace, that the moment our own last days approach, in whatever form that may take, we will receive forgiveness that makes what Joseph's brothers received seem piecemeal. Remember what you can receive. Remember the joy that emerged when forgiveness is given. Joseph agreed to provide for his brothers and all his descendants. God will provide in so many ways greater than that. God's love and forgiveness wins. Death is coming. Death is here. death is outside. There is an escape, for death can try and catch us at any moment. Death may be knocking at the door, but we have the one who defeated death and grants us our own eternal life. Death came for Jacob and for Joseph. In Jesus, we have the one who defeated death. Let us pray. Lord, in this fallen world where it seems evil and suffering is at every turn, in the personal and wider realms, let it remind us of what we have in you. Grace, salvation, a reason to rejoice at every turn. In the dark times, remind us of what you give. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.